is crackling, everybody. Welcome on into the Heat Check Fantasy Podcast, powered by Number Fire. That is right here on numberfire.com. And of course, the Number Fire Podcast Network, as we are taking a look ahead at the Sony Open in Hawaii for PGA DFS. Yes, the PGA Pod is back for the 2019 season. We take a look and break down the field from a DFS perspective. My name is Jim Sonnes. I am a senior writer and analyst for numberfire.com, joined here as always by Brandon Gadula. He is a senior editor and analyst for NumberFire. Brandon, happy 2019. Pretty fun field for this week at the Sony Open. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm a little bit rusty making all my notes for this sheet that I use to help prepare for the podcast, so that I don't panic when you ask me about somebody who I haven't thought of since early October, which is the last time some of these guys have played.
Thoughts like Brant Snedeker, ready, go. Not too late. No,
you know who's not rusty though.
Is it Xander Schauffele, who is not in the field?
You know it.
Your boy?
Yeah, he went nuts last week Sunday.
I think, I tend to claim bad golfers, but I think you got in on Xander early enough where you can still feel pretty good about that one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like the guy who, says that I was there first. I certainly wasn't there first, but I was there early on Xander, and he's, I think, sixth in the world right now, and we can all be excited about that. Oh, yeah. I like him so much that he is my favorite golfer, even though he wears hats with curved brims.
Man, that's high praise for Xander, so I hope he's cashing in on that, and the world trembles.
That's how you know it's genuine.
Yeah, the world trembles at the thought of what he would be if he did have a flat brim. So Xander's representatives, we look forward to talking with Brandon about that, so you can just set the world ablaze. Quick scheduling note for this week. PGA Podcast is today. On Thursday, we will have our NFL podcast breaking down the divisional round, the Saints, the Rams, the Chiefs, the Patriots, all back on the slate for this week. So it should be a tiny bit different than it was last weekend. That will go up Thursday, roughly the same time as usual for an NFL podcast. I'm a big dumb dummy and forgot to announce our winner for the iTunes contest last week. So we'll do that on Thursday instead, because again, I am not overly intelligent. So we'll get that out of the way then. Brandon, are you ready to break down the Sony Open for PGA DFS?
You know it.
All right, let's do it then. This is at Wailea Country Club in Hawaii. It is 7,044 yards, a par 70. There are roughly 140 golfers in the field, and there will be a cut after two rounds, which means roughly half the field will make it through. During the fall, we had a lot of no-cut events, and this one will not be that. And it actually has some pretty decent names in the field as well. So, Brandon, when you look at Wailea Country Club, what stands out to you from a statistical perspective?
So this is more of a ball striking type of course for me. The rough is not like very penal, so it doesn't really matter if you stray. With your driving distance though is you got to place it a bit, so you can't just load up on guys who launch it. And really, rather than just looking at ball striking, which is kind of an outdated stat, it's total driving, which is just, your ranks in, I think, distance and accuracy. I don't even use that. And your greens and regulation. But, there's strokes gained ball striking stats if you combine strokes gained approach and strokes gained off the tee. But I actually keep them split. I don't really like strokes gained ball striking too much because I like to give more weight more often than not to strokes gained approach rather than strokes gained off the tee. So both of those are on the list for sure, but more weight to strokes gained approach for me this week. Also looking at performance on par fours, it's a par 70. So I'm looking primarily at the par fours that are 400 to 500 yards, 10 of the 18 holes span between those two distances, 400 and 500 yards as par fours. So that's definitely on the list for me. You can also just sort of look at par four scoring if you don't have access to, strokes gained on specific hole lengths. To a smaller degree, we need some golfers who can score on the two par fives. Of course, they're the most scorable holes on the course. see a lot of Eagles there. But again, it's not at the top of the list, and I would prefer to look for par four performance over par five performance. And kind of like the big, there's like a little bit of a discrepancy between just sort of making the cut and finishing, you know, top 20, top 10, depending on how you perform on the par five. So I don't want to overlook it completely. And I'm also looking at stroke gain putting on Bermuda. I did that last week. We didn't have a podcast, but I still, you know, wrote up golfers for number fire. It's Bermuda again, and I'm trying to make sure that that's a large sample or just ignoring performance on Bermuda greens. So just to recap, I think this course, you know, is for ball strikers. So stroke gain approach, stroke gained off the tee, stroke gained on par fours, and then to a lesser degree, just sort of scoreability on par fives, however you want to measure that, and stroke gained putting on Bermuda.
It's a ball striking course, and the Burgoon platoon is not here. What a missed opportunity. I don't know if I'm going to get past this. It's very disappointing. I found similar things to Brandon when I was going through my process, which again is different. We try to keep things different here to give you different thoughts on various golfers, but I pretty much found the same thing from a ball striking perspective. So my big three stats are strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained approach, and then scrambling, because that also popped up a tiny bit, at least relative to other stats when looking at the golfers who finished well here over the past three seasons. So those are the big three for me as we head into this weekend for the Sony Open in Hawaii. Let's take a look at golfers who have done well here in the past, Brandon, starting off with some guy named Justin Thomas. And I know he's a bit of an unknown, but 2 years ago here in Wailea, he actually set a couple of records on this course. Let's talk through Justin Thomas here and what you see with him at $12,300 on FanDuel.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this slate on FanDuel starts with Justin Thomas and what you're going to do with him. Mm-hmm. He's actually not even the most expensive golfer on this slate. It's actually Bryson DeChambeau at $12,400. Again, Justin Thomas is $12,300. Thomas, though, is 6-1 to win according to FanDuel Sportsbook. Nobody else is better than 11-1, and that's Bryson. Thomas's four tries at Wailea include a sixth in 2015, missed the cut in 2016, but he won in 2017, as you already alluded to, 14th last year. In that 2016 event, the missed cut, he did lose strokes with approach shots, but he was also bottom five in putting, so kind of an outlier there. According to datagolf.ca, Thomas has the best adjusted strokes gained average here among golfers in the field since 2010. You know, great course form, of course, but he also 12th at the Hero, third last week at the Tournament of Champions. That means that he played last week. And, you know, as I sort of alluded to already at the top of the show, some of these golfers have not golfed competitively in quite some time. So seeing any golfer, especially one of Justin Thomas's pedigree, golfing last week is a big boost for me. So again, this slate sort of starts and not ends, but you know, it definitely starts with what you're going to do with Justin Thomas. So Jim, I'm assuming that I'll be starting the majority of my lineups with Justin Thomas. What about for you?
Yeah, you've never really had to talk me into Justin Thomas to begin with. In general, I tend to be aggressive in my use of him for DFS, and I think you kind of have to be again here, because I think when you look at this slate, there are three golfers who were both at last week's event and who have really solid statistical profiles across the board, and those are Justin Thomas, Bryson DeChambeau, and Gary Woodland. And from a, you know, like a golf perspective, I think that Thomas is in a tier of his own there. Maybe you could put DeChambeau up there just from, like, again, like a talent perspective and how they're golfing right now. And I think that to me is why Justin Thomas is 6-1. I think that's why I do want to be hyper aggressive with him. I think for me is it's like, I'm going to use a lot of Justin Thomas. The bigger question for me is, where do I go from there? Do I go more balanced? Do I go with a second of those top three guys and then kind of pepper the 9,000 or so range? That to me, I think, is the biggest dilemma that I'm having here. Is it just the same thing for you where it's Thomas and then figure out the rest from there?
Yeah, it kind of is. I think that there's a case to be made for a more balanced approach after you take Justin Thomas, but there are some interesting value options, and that could lead to a starts and scrubsy sort of approach. I think usually I try to stick to one or the other so that my core is somewhat similar, but this right. week might be close to 100% Justin Thomas, and then I differentiate just in terms of how I actually build my lineups.
And the other part too is
that might be the way that I go.
There's still going to be some overlap, even if you decide to go balanced. Like, I think there are certain guys who I like a lot around $9,000 who fit both approaches. So you can still have a good core while differentiating your roster construction. I think that makes me feel pretty comfortable about this slate. And I didn't know if I'd be comfortable with a PGA slate after, you know, not having a podcast around it since November. And I think that is, to me, at least reassuring. Let's talk about Gary Woodland, another guy in that range for me who does kind of push me away from a balanced approach and make me feel better about going with two studs, because Woodland is coming off a near victory last week. He has five top fives in his past six events. So the current form is good, but he's in the course history section because he's been good at Wailea as well. Woodland has been here each of the past 4 years. His finishes in that stretch are 3rd, 13th, 6th, and 7th. He has shot a 69 or better in 11 consecutive rounds at this course. Now, Woodland, if we look at strokes gained data at this course, he is 5th in strokes gained total at this course, according to Fantasy National. He is 5th off the tee, 4th in approach, so good statistical profile here too. And the salary for Woodland is $3,000 or $300 less than Justin Thomas, but it's also $600 more than Jordan Spieth. You got Mark Leishman in that next salary tier as well. So, Brandon, there is an opportunity cost associated with Woodland where it does force you to go a bit more stars and scrubsy. Is Woodland good enough for you to be okay with that?
Yeah. If it wasn't for Xander, I mean, Woodland was in a position to win last week for sure. Mm-hmm. The one thing that we have to just sort of touch on is that he did lose his grandmother last weekend, so I don't know how that's going to affect him this weekend. But, I mean, if you look at things from a strictly golf perspective, it's very easy to make the case for Gary Woodland. And, frankly, if it wasn't for Justin Thomas being in the field, Woodland would probably be my top pick. You know, he's thrived here in the past. Of course, you just, you know, mentioned that. Not a great Bermuda putter over the past 100 rounds for him, but he's actually one of two golfers to rank top 15 in both of the key ball striking stats over the past 36 rounds. He is 7th in approach and 4th in strokes gained off the tee. Bryson DeChambeau is the other. I think that he's worth the price, but again, it just comes down to that opportunity cost of, you know, can you really justify Gary Woodland over Justin Thomas in a lot of lineups? Probably not. But then, you know, if you roster Justin Thomas and Gary Woodland, you're kind of, you know, you're going to be scrambling.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter there was some speculation that Woodland may withdraw. That was on Sunday, though, and we've already gotten more official field, and he's still in there. So that leads me to believe that he will stay in this event. But there is a possibility, like you mentioned, that Woodland may withdraw. So I think if you're using Woodland, I would be aware of things Thursday morning. And the lock will be later for Thursday because it is in Hawaii. So that's a benefit there if you do want to go Woodland. But at least keep an eye on it. I think the biggest question for me is I'm comfortable with both DeChambeau and Woodland. I am just juggling which one I prefer. Right now, I go Woodland over DeChambeau by a hair. Brandon, what about for you?
I would go with Gary Woodland over Bryson.
All righty, let's move on to your second golfer with impressive history here at Wailea, Brandon. That is Scott Piercy. Piercy is one of those guys who always grades out well when you factor in strokes gained approach, and he is $9,500 for this weekend. What do you see in Scott Piercy here, Brandon, as a potential play in that middle range?
Yeah, so Piercy at 95 is someone who would help us mostly spend up at other positions on our team. But, you know, actually a few golfers around Piercy's price have solid course form. I just chose not to discuss them. You know, Jimmy Walker, two wins here. Chez Reavie, I've heard, getting some buzz. Russell Knox, Kevin Kisner. But Piercy is the only one of those to play last week. Piercy finished 19th at the Tournament of Champions. Did lose strokes on approach, which I do not like to see. But, you know, digging past that, he's finished 6th, 10th, 5th, 27th, and the 2018-2019 PGA Tour season, you know, from the Mayakoba and on back. So not the most recent form outside of last week, which, again, he lost strokes approach. I don't care for that. But, you know, at YLI, of course, that's why we're talking about him here. He's finished 2nd, 13th, 57th, 25th the past 4 years. Again, played last week, which is, you know, even though he did lose those strokes with approach, I still like to see that he played last week. So, Jim, is this enough to differentiate Piercy from kind of a muddy mid-9,000 range for you this week?
I think because it's muddy, I'm kind of inclined to skip over that range a little bit. Like the main guys in that tier, probably Piercy. I think that Kevin Kisner could get some interest. They don't really do a lot for me compared to the guys who are a little bit more expensive than them and the guys who are cheaper than them. So I kind of think that's why I am comfortable going with either Stars and Scrubs or a very balanced approach, because both those strategies allow me to avoid the mid 9,000 range. I agree with you where it's kind of muddy, but I think I can avoid it on this slate. Piercy might be the guy I like the most in that range, but I think Abraham Answer is $9,300. I'd rather just drop down to him straight up than go with Piercy. So I think that that's the big push away for me, is that there are guys who are in a tier above him and a tier below him who I both like more. So I'm probably just going to wind up avoiding this mid 9,000 range altogether outside of Answer. Are you getting a similar vibe from this mid 9,000 range?
A little bit similar, but I think I like Piercy enough because, frankly, not many golfers in this field, despite it being a large field, played last week because it was such a small field. So, you know, I think off the top of my head, it's like the past 5 winners played the week before winning here. So I'm not expecting Piercy to win. I don't need a win from him at 9,500, but just knowing that he played last week is a big boost, and I do think that it does enough to differentiate him. And I think that he fits more of a balanced build and a bit of a Stars and Scrubsy build as well for me.
All righty. Let's move on to my second guy who has done well here. That's James Hahn. And Hahn actually almost got a win here last year. He fell short in the 6th hole of a playoff. And he's just $8,000 for this week. And he has done decently well here outside of just that one event. This will be Hahn's 7th trip to YLI. He has made the cut all 6 previous times. He has shot 69 or better in 15 of his past 16 rounds here. Hahn is 10th at this course and strokes gained off the tee as well. So not just living off of putting at this event, but Brandon, Hahn is also $8,000 for a reason. So what kind of read are you getting on him entering this weekend?
I mean, I could maybe see the case for him. He gained approach strokes last year. I think he was top 5-ish in that. But he's not really, you know, the irons aren't really there for him of late. He didn't play last week, of course. Hasn't played since the OHL. 90-1 win odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. Not terrible for his price, but I don't really think that I'm going to be chasing James Hahn this week.
Yeah, Hahn opened at 120-1 on FanDuel Sportsbook. So that those odds have come down, but whenever you see that and it overlaps with course history, I kind of assume it's being bet down just because of the course history. And that's what makes me a little bit skeptical here. So if I decided to dip down below, you know, like 85 and needed someone who was crazy cheap, I could see myself potentially going with Hahn. He did have, you know, a 29th and a 28th place finish back in the fall. So the form back then wasn't terrible. But as you mentioned, 98th in strokes gained approach over the past 50 rounds, according to Fantasy National. So it's not the most glowing profile for Hahn. I am skeptical of his odds coming down because I think he's probably being bet down due to course history. So I am not overly inclined to use him. I could be okay with it if I needed someone desperately in that range for some reason, but I don't think I will for this week. So probably not going to be a whole lot of James Hahn for me this week, despite what happened last year. Before we take a look at current form and golfers who were doing well, whether it be in the fall or the past couple of weeks, I wanted to let you know about a couple of contests in the FanDuel lobby for this week in PGA DFS. One of them is their big contest. That is the PGA Eagle, $7.77 to enter. And gets you a shot at $10,000 going to first place. If you don't want to pay $7.77 for an entry, there is a $1 entry, 5 entry max, which is perfect for those of you who want to get into PGA DFS for this upcoming season. Again, just $5 to max enter that one. So certainly intriguing. Check them all out in the FanDuel lobby, FanDuel.com, and check out the PGA lobby for events for the Sony Open. Let's move now to current form, Brandon. And one guy who definitely is interesting in this department is Mark Leishman. He fits a balanced approach. And as we mentioned, we are very interested in a balanced approach for this weekend. Leishman, $10,900. What have you seen from him recently, Brandon?
Yeah, that recent form definitely does enough for us to sort of take note, especially at that price you mentioned, $10,900, 19-1 to win. On FanDuel Sportsbook, did play last week at the Tournament of Champions, so sort of checks all those sort of top-down boxes for me. He was actually fourth in putting, strokes gained putting on the Bermuda Greens last week, but he was also top 10 in strokes gained tee to green last week, so I like that. Prior to his fourth place finish last week, he was second at the Australian PGA Championship, 18th at the CJ Cup, first at the CIMB. We are straying back a bit there, but his current form has been great over a larger sample. His last missed cut was at the Travelers. He has just 6 missed cuts out of 53 total events since the start of 2017. He's not a must play for me, but I do like the current form, primarily because he played well enough last week. I'm sure I'm not alone in the Mark Leishman love interest, but Leishman's on the list for me this week. What about for you, Jim?
Yeah, I think he is too, because again, I'm very comfortable going balanced. I think that Leishman fits that. I think that Patrick Reed fits that mold. And then also Adam Scott. There are a couple of guys in the high 10,000s to low 11,000s range who I would be okay using in lieu of someone like Woodland or DeChambeau. So I think that Leishman definitely does fit that. Again, like you said, he played last week. He's been golfing really well recently. I think the one concern I could have is that he also just makes a lot of sense, and that could lead to increased attention on him and an increased roster rate for Mark Leishman. Are you worried at all that Leishman may wind up being a bit too popular for this week?
It's possible. I think that Justin Thomas is going to command a lot of ownership this week. According to FanShare, Leishman has 8 tags, so that puts him tied for 4th as of Tuesday morning. There's a lot of time left for that to grow or shrink, but I don't think that Leishman's going to come in under-owned, but I do think that he makes sense from a sort of high-floor cash game play area. And again, I do not think that Mark Leishman is a must-play for me this week, especially in tournaments, if he's going to be highly owned.
Yeah, I think I agree with the cash game analysis there. Like, if you decide that you want to go balanced in cash, Leishman would probably be my favorite guy there because he is safer. He did golf last week. I like that a lot. I think for tournaments, I might prefer someone who might be a tiny bit more contrarian, who we'll talk about later on. But Leishman is on my list, I would say, for this week for sure. One guy I want to talk about here is Cameron Champ, because we've been discussing Champ ever since the fall, because he had this breakout. We know how good he has been, but now his salary is $11,600 in a tough field. So we may need to reframe the discussion around Cameron Champ. Champ has golfed at 6 events since the start of the new season, and his worst finish in that time is 28th. And he has a win, got 3 total top 10s. He's been very good. But most of those events have come against lower level competition. He was at the Tournament of Champions last week. He finished 11th in that one, which is 6th among golfers who are also in this field. That's not bad. But Champ is expensive. Certainly shouldn't be a value play anymore. But Brandon, he is $11,600, which is higher than Jordan Spieth, who's had his issues, but it's still Jordan Spieth, and close enough to be within striking distance of Woodland, Thomas, and DeChambeau. Can you buy Cameron Champ given his new high salary?
No, I cannot. Last week, he gained on average 1.19 strokes putting. He actually was basically neutral, but did lose 0.07 strokes on average with his approach shots. I don't like that. The price is just too high for me. As much as I want to buy in on Cameron Champ, I don't think this is the week to do it. I could be totally wrong in that, but if Cameron Champ at that price, you know, just dominates this course and dominates this event, I think I'm okay living with that.
Yeah, the off the tee play is great. He's fourth in strokes gained off the tee over the past 50 rounds, again, according to Fantasy National, but he's 85th in approach in the past 50 rounds. And when I'm paying $11,600 for him, that's just not going to cut it. So
yeah, and that's why, you know, I mentioned during the key stats, I like to separate out strokes gained ball striking for that reason.
Yep, and I think that that is the right way to play it. I do the exact same thing. It also makes Paul Casey look better, which is always a positive thing for my process as well. Let's move down to some golfers who are not quite as expensive, Brandon, starting off with Dylan Fratelli, who hasn't always been on the PGA Tour, but internationally, some really solid finishes, and it seems like he may be a guy with a decent floor below $9,000. So what do you see with Fratelli at $8,700?
Yeah, it's been a while since he's been on the PGA Tour. He did not play last week. I think that goes without saying. But 8,700, 90 to 1 to win on FanDuel Sportsbook. I like that. But his most recent outings have been a 21st at the Ned Bank Golf Challenge, a 7th at the DP World Tour Championship, a 5th at the Afrasia Bank Mauritius Open. He missed the cut at the South African Open, but 12th at the Alfred Dunhill championships a month back. So again, no events in the past month, but he's cheap. He has a solid win odds. He has finished well of late. And on the European Tour, he was 12th in strokes gained approach over this past season. So I think he's a pretty enticing value play, all things considered, even without the fact of playing last week. So any interest in Fratelli for you, Jim?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. Because he seems to be a fairly steady guy, and I like some value plays, but the value plays that I like don't necessarily have steady in their nature, I guess. And I think that that does make me like Fratelli if I'm looking for a high floor, which in general I am from this pricing range, because I want them to make the cut so that if I nail my studs, I'm not going to get ruined. So I think
that might be a carpentry term.
What's that?
Nail the studs. I think that's from carpentry.
Totally intentional, not accidental at all, and I will live with that for sure. But yeah, I think that Fratelli fits if I need a high floor guy. Is that the same read you're getting from him?
Yeah, I mean, he's high floor relative to his price, and I think, you know, that's what you're trying to say. I don't think that he's a slam dunk. I don't think that really any value plays are ones we can be super confident in. But I think that Fratelli does have a pretty high floor relative to his salary. And I'm loving the fact that the Euro Tour has strokes gained data now.
Yes, it's wonderful and necessary given, once we get to like the Masters especially, or like the majors, we're going to need that. So it's very much appreciated. And Fratelli does grade out well there. So I can get behind him at $8,700. Just above him is Abraham Answer. He is $9,300. Brandon's boy, or one of them at least, balling out recently. Answer has been to 5 events since the PGA's new season started. 4 of them have been PGA events. And Answer does have 3 top 25s in those 4 events, with 2 top 5s as well. The most recent outing was in November. He won the Emirates Australian Open. Keegan Bradley was there, Cam Smith, Ben Ahn. They were all in the field, so it wasn't devoid of talent, and Answer won that one. He is $9,300, Brandon. I like Answer, but he is not a guy who golfed last week. So can you buy into Answer despite that at his salary?
Yeah, I mean, we can't only limit our selections. Right. I mean, we can in theory, but, you know, limiting our selections to the guys who played last week, it's a bit tough. But you mentioned that, you know, that win at the Australian Open, he won by 5 strokes. He had a 69, 69,
65, 69. Very nice.
Almost perfectly nice there, but
and he beat, you know, Leishman. Like, Leishman was a runner-up in that one, right?
No.
Oh, just kidding. Oh no, that was Australian PGA Championship that Leishman was at. Just kidding.
Yeah, I mean,
but he did beat Keegan, you know, which is basically the same thing. Even more impressive.
And Cam Smith, he's got great hat game.
That's more so. Keegan.
been on. That's okay, our boy. That's
yeah.
That's yeah, but answer, I mean, leads the field in strokes gained off the tee over the past 36 rounds. He is 11th in strokes gained on 400 to 450 yard par fours. The approach, just 72nd there. You know, again, didn't play last week, but the price is great. The win odds are great. So I think that he's going to be almost the core play for me. Sure. Because he gives me a lot of flexibility.
I would agree with that as well. And he is one of those golfers, to me at least, who fits both cash games and tournament builds. And I like that a lot. So answer, one of my favorite plays below $10,000, and I will be actively getting him into my rosters whenever I can. Let's slide on down to what the bookmakers are saying about this event. Justin Thomas, as mentioned, the heavy favorite at FanDuel Sportsbook. He is 6-1. We got Bryson DeChambeau at 11-1. Gary Woodland checks in next at 13-1, followed closely by Jordan Spieth at 15-1. Mark Leishman on a bit of an island by himself at 17-1. Then you jump all the way down to Cameron Champ, who is 24-1. Patrick Reed and Charles Howell III, the spreadsheet ruiner, right off the top group at 33-1. Brandon, we talked about Thomas earlier, so we can set him aside. What else stands out to you in this top tier of odds?
I know we're not talking about Justin Thomas, but just comparing everyone else to him it's kind of hard to feel confident in a second golfer this week. I know I said that I prefer Gary Woodland to Bryson straight up. It's very close, but you look at, you know, the Spieths, the Leishmans, again, I'm not going to pay that price for Cameron Champ this week, but it's such a big gap that it almost feels like maybe I should trend more toward a more balanced approach, right, and just sort of gloss over the golfers who are, you know, priced right around Justin Thomas and instead look to, you know, your Paul Casey's at 11,000, Matt Kuchar I like at 10.5, Charles Howell, as you mentioned, the spreadsheet ruiner, 10,400. So I think really what this says to me overall is that I'm not going to prioritize necessarily Gary Woodland or Bryson just because JT is so far out ahead.
Yeah, I think the one thing that allows me to still have interest in them is that the stats are so good for both Woodland and DeChambeau, I feel a lot better about them than I do about Spieth or about Leishman or about Cam Champ. And I think that's what keeps me clinging there and allows me to say, I want to make sure I have both varieties of roster construction. So I think that that's the big thing for me. Vegas, yeah. The bookmaker odds do book that up to, or back that up to an extent, but they also, I think, overall do lend more credence to a balanced roster construction.
Yeah, the thing to remember though is, you know, Bryson's 12-4, Woodland's 12,000. If we look at, you know, Spieth is 11-4. Mm-hmm. I'm not jumping back on Jordan Spieth yet.
Right.
But, you know, Leishman's 10,900. He's going to be setting up to be, I think that the more I look at it, he's going to be sort of the go-to secondary option, I think, for a lot of people. So, but, you know, Paul Casey's 11,000. He played last week, finished 16th. It seems like you might like Patrick Reed more than I do, but I guess though.
I am interested in him. I think that, like, there is someone else who is cheaper I like more.
Trying to figure
outside
that
of out. Paul Casey, because I like Paul Casey more than Patrick.
I bet you like Adam Scott.
It is Adam Scott,
the man who hasn't golfed since 1492. Now he just hasn't played since
Parks and Rec. You know, he's good to go.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's it's great that he's able to, you know, be such a good actor and such a good
balanced player. Man, I love it. We talked about the studs here. Let's move down to looking at movement, Brandon. There has been some movement in the more expensive range. What movement have you seen overall since yesterday on FanDuel Sportsbook?
Yeah, not a lot overall. Gary Woodland though did shorten from 15-1 to 13-1. Jordan Spieth moved down from 17-1 to 15-1. Kevin Kisner, 36-32, but is now 34, actually. The Russells, Henley and Knox, went from 75-1 to 55-1. Andrew Putnam, I've heard a few places already this week, 85-70. Brian Harman, 75-70. Chris Kirk, 90-80. Your boy James Hahn, 120-90. And Ryan Armour, a big mover from 160-1 to 100-1.
I had Ryan Armour in my initial bobblehead build. I no longer have him in there, but he was on my radar. Thankfully, I found something else that made me okay with it. But he was there. All 25, Ryan Armour. You're never going to get better than that.
What does that mean?
What's that?
What does 25 mean?
Probably not going to get better than a 25th place finish or so.
Oh, okay.
But driving accuracy was like better than usual in my process. And I think that's why I was okay with Armour, because I can never tolerate him on a spot where I have to prioritize distance, but I don't think I need to prioritize it this week. So that's why I was mildly interested in Armour.
Yeah,
I'd rather not.
That's like his tagline.
Yeah,
Ryan Armour.
I'd rather not,
but
yeah,
you know, sometimes you have to.
Yeah, usually it's on the ardent good drive rate or accuracy courses. This isn't quite that, which is why I went strokes gained off the tee. But you know, you got to do what you got to do, man. He's $8,300, so there is that for sure. What golfers with lower salaries have odds that kind of stand out to you?
The main one is Patton Kizzire, last year's winner. He stands out at 41-1. He is $8,800. We have Abraham Ancer at 4,100. You know, these are guys who are below 9,500 or so. Scott Piercy is 48. Russell Henley, Russell Knox, Siwoo Kim are all 55-1. But if we cut and make the cutoff even lower at sub 9,000, we have Chris Kirk at 80-1. Dylan Fratelli, James Hahn, Sung J M are all 90-1, and then Ryan Armour again at 100-1. So not a whole lot of sort of, you know, quote unquote misprices in terms right. of matching up the win odds to the salaries, but there are a few options who do stand out.
We have not talked about Kizzire yet, but we will in the player picks. So I will reserve him for there, and we'll get your thoughts on him in that section. So let's take a look at the weather here for this weekend out in Hawaii. There is a slight chance of rain both Thursday and Friday, but right now it's around like 15% chance of rain for both those days. I wouldn't worry too much about that. As far as the winds go, 10 miles per hour all day Thursday, no change there. The winds will start roughly 8 miles per hour on Friday morning before tapering off throughout the afternoon. So there will be a slight advantage to those guys teeing off early Thursday, who will be in the afternoon Friday, but I don't think it's enough to sway the way we should view this field. Brandon, do you agree with that, or are you just changing your process and going all out for weather this week?
Yeah, I really don't go all out for weather ever. I almost don't even factor in weather because it's not a skill that I have. The main sort of difficulty, like the main sort of safeguard, whatever you want to call it, it's not water here. It's not the rough. It's just the wind. So if it is windy, the scores could trend down a bit. But if it's not windy, then this could be a bit of a shootout.
And historically, wind has not been a major issue here based on the data that Fantasy National has. So we should be good to go. With that said, let's move into our player picks, Brandon, for the Sony Open in Hawaii. Who are you targeting for Thursday?
Well, I didn't get to the sheet early enough to claim Justin Thomas. So I'm going to have
the sheet and put Justin Thomas in my player picks and then sent it to you just to ensure I would get that luxury.
I don't blame you because I think that he's that good of a pick this week that was justifiable.
Good.
I have Gary Woodland here. You know, near winner last week, returns to a course that he's thrived at in the past, 3rd, 13th, 6th, and 7th over the past 4 years. You know, that's despite not being a good Bermuda putter over a large sample. He's 94th among golfers in the field in strokes gained putting on Bermuda over the past 100 rounds, of course, courtesy of fantasynational.com. And as I mentioned before, Woodland is actually one of two golfers who's top 15 over the past 36 rounds in both of the ball striking stats. You know, Bryson DeChambeau is the other. If, you know, you want to make the case for Bryson over Gary Woodland, I'm not going to fight you too hard. But I do think that both of those options are a big tier behind Justin Thomas.
I would agree. Woodland, to me, is above DeChambeau, as we talked about before as well, because he has the course history, the current form, and the stats, whereas DeChambeau is more 2 out of 3 check marks there. So I think Woodland is my favorite guy behind Thomas. Let's talk about Thomas here, because I just think that his salary should be higher than this. He finished third at the Tournament of Champions last week. If we look at him since last year's Open Championship, Thomas has been to 10 events. And in those 10 events, he has 6 top 10 finishes, 3 top 5s, and a win. That's just an amazing resume against fields that are more often than not tougher than this one. If we look at his ranks over the past 50 rounds, according to FantasyNational.com, he is 13th in strokes gained off the tee, 1st in strokes gained approach, and 25th in scrambling. So fits all 3 things that I want in a golfer statistically. He won here in 2017, as Brandon mentioned, just setting records. 14th here last year. So Justin Thomas, I think a no-brainer and a guy we're going to be building around for this weekend. So let's move on to your second high-priced guy, Brandon. If we decide to go more balanced, who are you looking at there?
I still think it's Mark Leishman in terms of just safety, but also some upside. You know, finished 4th last week at the Tournament of Champions. Again, top 10 in both strokes gained tee to green and strokes gained putting on Bermuda greens. You know, before that, I mentioned he has really solid finishes. 2nd at the Australian PGA, 18th at the CJ Cup, won the CIMB. You know, I've talked about Leishman enough already, though, so I'll throw in Matt Kuchar. I like him. I like Charles Howell, and I like Paul Casey as well. It's going to be hard to narrow things down. Of course, if I had to pick, it's going to be Leishman because I, you know, felt confident enough in him to mention him, talk about him a little more in detail. But I'm thinking possibly where I am now is going to be Justin Thomas plus 2 of Mark Leishman, Matt Kuchar, Charles Howell, and Paul Casey, if I can swing that.
Yeah, I think you can based on some initial builds I've done this week. I haven't built a lot of teams, but based on some of them, you can do so without debasing yourself for value plays. I've kind of gotten a similar vibe this week where I guess for me, I don't like a ton of the super cheap guys below $8,500. So I do like the balanced approach. And one guy who fits that for me is Adam Scott at $10,600. The stats recently are really good. He's 23rd off the tee, 8th in approach over the past 50 rounds. This is the first event for Scott, though, since the WGC HSBC. But if we look back before that, he has made 9 straight cuts. He has 2 top 5s, a 10th at the CJ Cup as well. And if we look at Scott, he hasn't been here the past 2 seasons, but he has played this course before. He was 8th, I think, 5 years ago. So he knows the course. He was good before he took that long layoff. The layoff is the concern for me. So if I'm going with a balanced approach in cash, probably not going Adam Scott. I think there I'd go Leishman or Paul Casey. But if I decide to go here in tournaments, I do like Scott quite a bit. What are your thoughts on Adam Scott, Brandon?
Yeah, if an offer the layoff, I would have liked him more. I probably would have recommended him. But, you know, just not playing since the HSBC, which, you know, by the way, Xander won. You know, no big deal there. yeah, that's really the deciding factor. It's already hard enough for me to differentiate between Leishman, Kuchar, Casey, Howell. You know, Scott would have been in the mix, but just that layoff is enough for me to factor him out of my core. And again, if Adam Scott comes out on fire, then I just have to chalk it up to, you know,
right,
just some bad luck.
You know why you weren't there, and I think that's why it's okay. You know, like, if that does happen, you're like, eh, I know my process. I know why it happened, essentially. Paul Casey, I think, would be my other alternative here. 6th in approach the past 50 rounds. Not the best finishes, but, like, not terrible either. So Casey, to me, also attractive, and I will have some of him as well. Let's move down to the mid-priced range, Brandon, guys who could fit in a balanced approach. Who are you targeting around the 10,000 range?
Right at 10,000 is Ian Poulter. He's not usually my go-to option, but he's 15th in approach, 5th in strokes gained on par fours that span 400 to 450 yards over the past 36 rounds. You know, he's got that checkbox sort of ticked off by playing last week. He was 18th at the Tournament of Champions, which, you know, not good based on that small field, but he actually gained strokes on approach shots, just tanked on the greens. You know, sort of fits that balanced build at 10,000. You know, if I try to do the aforementioned build of, you know, Justin Thomas, even Matt Kuchar and Charles Howell, that leaves me with just 89, 33 for my other three golfers. So, you know, if I have to go Kuchar down to Ian Poulter, I don't love it, but it is an option.
Right. I think that this range actually is pretty fun for me. So I'm going to talk about Kyle Stanley here quick, and then I want to get your thoughts on the entire 10,000-ish range, because to me, it's pretty attractive, and a big part of the reason why I like a balanced approach. With Stanley, he is $9,900, and he's been pretty strong at this course in the past. Look at the past 3 years. Stanley has finished 13th, 36th, and 10th, with the 10th being last year. And he's golfed well. If we look back to the fall, in the late summer, early fall, Stanley had top 25s, five top 25s in his final nine events, including a second place finish at the WGC Bridgestone. The stats are there for Stanley too. He is 14th off the tee and 11th in approach the past 50 rounds. And again, $9,900. Brandon, this range has a lot of my dudes in it. As Keegan, he is 98. Ian Poulter, I don't want to say he's my dude, but I tend to use him more than others.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. He's 10,000. Emiliano Grillo is $9,900. Of course, Stanley is there too. Do you like this range as much as I tend to?
Yeah, I could just sort of rattle off, you know, five or six golfers who I really am interested in this week. The problem is that if you go with Justin Thomas in two of these options, you do have to sort of not scrape the bottom of the barrel, but we're looking at sub 9K guys, and there aren't a ton that I feel overly confident in. Fratelli's on the list there, but a lot of the other options are more upside plays. So it, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself and say, yeah, I'll just, you know, play Justin Thomas and then all these $10,000 guys, because you can't. Mm-hmm. But I am very interested, and I'm really going to need to hone in on the value range. And if I can find, you know, two to four value options that I'm comfortable with, and I just sort of go all in on them, then I can just rotate in all these mid-range options here in terms of salary.
I think that to me is pretty attractive, and I'd be willing to do that. Poulter or Stanley? Is it Poulter because he played last week?
I think just a bit. I do like Stanley though. He's on my list for sure. But I think I would prioritize Poulter just a tad.
All right, let's move on to your second mid-range guy. Who else are you targeting here below $10,000?
It's going to be Scott Piercy. It's really just because he does enough to stand out, and I don't really care for too many other options in this range. I mean, I do like Abe Anser. I just want to make that known. I'm confident in him. But Piercy, you know, 19th at last week's Tournament of Champions. Again, lost strokes, approach, don't care for that at all. But obviously plays well at YLI. That's why I talked about him before. Second, 13th, 57th, 25th the past 4 years. And, you know, even though we're looking a bit back behind the Tournament of Champions, he had finished well in most of his recent events. 6th, 10th, 5th, 27th. So Piercy, if I'm looking in this range, is definitely on my list.
Yeah, I think he fits for me too. I just prefer Abraham Anser. He mentioned as well. So let's talk about Abe Anser here. The solid results already discussed, but I think that Anser's appeal goes beyond that. If we look at the golfers in the field, Anser ranks 5th among those golfers in strokes gained off the tee over the past 50 rounds. He's also 18th in scrambling, which I think is a help to boost his floor. The approach game, as Brandon mentioned, has been just kind of mediocre, but, you know, Anser's been able to overcome that off the tee and get some strong finishes still. If the approach game were better, I don't think he'd be priced where he is. So I think I'm willing to take that risk, I guess slight risk on Anser at 41-1 to win. $9,300. Brandon, is he a cash game play to you?
Yeah, I think so. I think that I'm confident enough in him to make him a cash game play.
I would agree. Let's move on to the low pricing range, around 9,000 or lower. Brandon, who is standing out to you down here in a range we haven't discussed too much so far yet?
I rarely talk about the prior year's winner, but I think Kazire's not getting enough attention this week. He's 8,800, which works for our, you know, balanced and stars and scrubsy build. He's 41-1 to win, according to FanDuel Sportsbook. He ranks 27th in this field in strokes gained approach over the past 36 rounds. Played last week. He finished 8th at the Tournament of Champions. Again, he won here last year, and he did average you know, a positive 1.71 strokes gained putting per round, but was also 4th in strokes gained approach here. So I like that. He gained strokes on approach shots last week at the Tournament of Champions. putted well on the Bermuda greens last week. And he's also 16th in this field in strokes gained putting on Bermuda over his past 100 rounds, according to Fantasy Nationals. So I think he checks pretty much every box for me. And I think that just by default, I'm going to have a lot of Patton Kizzire this week.
Yeah, I think if you look at the guys below $9,000, he's probably the one who makes the most sense. Kizzire, you mentioned that you don't talk about winners of the previous year, but a lot of times it's because they won't have great current form. But Kizzire, as you mentioned, 8th last week, he was 15th in his past event before that, couple of made cuts as well. So I think that he's not a bad play by any means. So I think that Kizzire, I don't want to say he's like my favorite guy below $9,000, but he's probably the one who makes the most sense. I realize that might be a weird contradiction. Does that make sense at all?
So he's not your favorite, but he makes the most sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I live my life.
Okay. Cool. I'll live with that. The guy I do like, I think, the most below $9,000 is Sam Ryder. He is $8,900, and the stats for Ryder are very good. Over the past 50 rounds, he is 22nd in strokes gained off the tee. He is 4th in approach and 33rd in scrambling. So all my three big stats, Ryder grades out well. He did miss a cut at the RSM, which is his most recent event, but look at him before that. Had a couple of really good finishes. He was 3rd at the Shriners, 4th at the Safeway. So the upside is there. The Shriners and the Safeway, both easier fields, but I think the low salary on Ryder and the overall good stats really do help compensate for that. So I am in on Sam Ryder. Brandon, you were in on him previously. Where do you sit with Ryder for the Sony Open?
Yeah, he's playable for sure. I actually wrote him up for my, primer on numberfire.com. He finished 58th here last year. He averaged about 0.44 strokes gained tee to green per round, but lost almost the same amount on the greens. Good approach, good off the tee play, good par four option, over the past 36 rounds. So Ryder at 8,900 is on the list. Keith Mitchell at 8,900 as well. Much more of an upside play, but both of those two are options if you're looking below 9,000.
Keith Mitchell, the bomber, back in play. Who else are you looking at in the low price range here, Brandon?
All right, so I touched on Mitchell. You talked about Ryder. I talked about Kizzire. I talked about Dylan Fratelli already. I'm going to go with Shugo Imahira. He's 240. He's 240 to 1 to win, but he's only 8,300. And if you're really trying to, scrape as much as you can, I think that he makes sense. So again, not great win odds, but he's actually 53rd in the official world golf rankings. He's made 24 of 27 cuts in 2018. He has a win, 3 runner-ups, 3 third-place finishes, and 7 more top 10 finishes. I know that comes on mostly the Asian tour, but he did play here last year, finished 54th. He was 6 under par, did lose almost a full stroke with approach shots per round. Did it mostly with off the tee play and putting. But look, if you're really looking below 8,500, there's not much. And it's enticing to, if you can find one golfer who's below 8,500 or so, You can sort of do a lot with the rest of your lineup. So Imahira is someone I will consider tournaments only.
Yeah, you mentioned it. He was doing well on the Asian tour, but like that's a very competitive tour. And a lot of those guys are also here. So I don't think that's like a negative at all. So Imahira, interesting for sure. And on my list now because of you. So I appreciate that. My final guy to plug here is Sungjae Im, because I don't think that the floor is there. He's pretty volatile, but the upside here is good. He has 2 missed cuts in his past 5 events, and that is concerning. But he did win a Web.com Tour event toward the end of their season. He was 4th at the Safeway. He has a pair of top 15 finishes in his past 4 events, or 15th place finishes in his past 4 events. So, got a little bit of juice. So he's 21st off the tee, 53rd in approach over the past 50 rounds, and $8,600. I kind of am okay with him for tournaments. I'm not going to go there in cash if I can avoid it. But I think for tournaments, I'm okay with it. Is Sungjae Im a guy who at least catches your attention, Brandon?
Yeah, catches my attention is about right. he's 58th in approach, 16th in strokes gained off the tee over his past 36. You know, it's just sort of okay. Like, he's really tournament only, and he's really someone who, like, if I have 8,600 left and I can't get to Dylan Fratelli or Kazire or Ryder or Mitchell, I'll just suck it up and plug in some Sungjae Im, but I'm not really going out of my way to prioritize him. He's just one of the few options below 9K that we can feel, you know, somewhat confident in.
I think that's kind of the way I feel about everyone below 9K, outside of maybe Kazire. So it's a tough range, and I think that's why I would be okay with going pretty balanced in cash games this week. We'll see where I wind up. Maybe I'll talk myself into a value play, but I'm okay with balance for sure for this week. Before we close up shop for today, though, Brandon, we got to give our picks to win the Sony Open. Again, we're tracking these this year. We did pretty okay in the fall, I think. So we got to keep the streak rolling, Brandon. Who are you targeting for your winner at the Sony Open? One guy, anybody you want outside of Justin Thomas, we'll take him out of play. And then one person, 50-1 or longer to win.
Okay, so why don't you go first? Because I want to take someone, but I think you might want it more than I do. So,
In the upper pricing range, or?
Yeah.
So I want to go Woodland.
Right.
Is that the person you were going to take?
Yeah, but I tend to go first in these, and I want to make it fair.
You're giving me Woodland.
Yeah.
I'll take Woodland then. I'm not gonna rock the boat here. Give me Woodland. Who do you want?
Then I'll take Bryson.
Okay. And then 50-1 or longer. I took Stanley out of play for me. It was for my own sake.
50-1 or longer.
Yeah, good luck, man.
Oh boy. This always is harder than I think. I'm like, 50-1's not too bad, but...
And then you look at the names, you're like, oh, mother of goodness.
I'm like, yeah, who do I really think can win this thing with... And really for us, it's not just so much winning, but...
Right. I want the win. I don't care about the numbers. I just want to win, man.
Well, that's one way to go about it. how about... I hate myself for this, but Ian Poulter. 55-1.
Okay. I think he was the one who made most sense. I could go Keegan. But Keegan doesn't win very often. We'll say that. So, Brandon, let's have some fun. Sam Ryder at 120-1 to win. Let's go with him.
There we go.
I'm going to have some fun. I want extra credit if he wins because he's 120, as opposed to you taking the coward's route with Ian Poulter at 55.
Hey, you know it.
I need a little extra juice here, but I think Sam Ryder's going to win it. So, I'm confident enough to put my neck out there and say, Sam Ryder, your Sony Open in Hawaii 2019 champion.
I'm all for it.
All right.
I weirdly hope he wins, even though it would be bad for me, but it'd be good for business.
Let's do it. We only care about the brand. We do not care about our picks, except I do care a little bit. So we'll see how things go here for this weekend. Again, lock a little bit later Thursday because it is in Hawaii, so take advantage of that. If you are using Woodland, again, keep track of things to make sure he does stay in the field for this event. Brandon, a pretty interesting one to kick things off here in 2019, but the thing that I like is that there are multiple ways you can play this one from a roster construction perspective.
Yeah, there are a lot of golfers who are in play. There are a few golfers that I feel like I want to lock in outside of Justin Thomas, who I might just, you know, have 85 to 100. I don't even know. I might have 100% Justin Thomas. It just seems like so obvious. But yeah, I think that there are a lot of ways to go for sure.
We'll be back with you on Thursday to break down the NFL divisional round slate. Again, with all the big offenses back on the table. You can get that by subscribing to the Number Fire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed. That is on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and the TuneIn app just by searching for the Number Fire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed. Brandon, if people have questions for you, where can they find you on Twitter?
I am at Gadula13, GDULA13.
And I am at Jim Sonnes, JimSannes. You can also follow the Number Fire Podcast Network at Number Fire Pods, PODSS in podcast. We do want to thank you all for tuning in for today. Good luck as you're filling out lineups for the Sony Open in Hawaii. We will talk to you again next week. This has been the Heat Check Fantasy Podcast powered by Number Fire.